And in the future, we're not going to have all these stuff. We will have praise, announcement, worship, and then we're going to go into the message immediately. And so we'll have more time. So please, you know, I know it's not, I'm not giving you as much as I should, but you'll see the notes that you have with you. It's called Fighting for Double. Fighting for the double portion. I just felt led to preach this word, to minister on this word as a foundation tonight. We'll go more prophetically in. And listen, let me just read you through the scripture. 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Now let me, instead of, I'm not going to read through this, you can read through this at home. I'm going to paraphrase the whole scripture here to save time. Elijah came to Elisha, he threw his mantle on him and he said, "Follow me." Elisha burned everything down, his whole business. He had a huge business. He destroyed it. He cut off his past. He cut off his relationship with his family. And I'm not saying he was cut off your relationship with your family, but there's a certain principle in that. And he followed the anointing, which was Elijah. Are you guys with me? Elijah had the mantle. Elisha needed the mantle. And Elisha said, "I'm going to follow this man." And he ran. The Bible says he ran after Elijah and became his servant. Then we see that story goes on, and I think he served about 8 to 12 years, the theologians will tell you. Then they came to a place where Elijah was ready to be taken to heaven. And Elijah said, "Listen here, the Lord is going to take me away." And Elisha said, and Elijah told Elisha, he said, "Listen, Elisha, stay here where you are at Gilgal. The first place is called Gilgal. Stay here where you are." And he said, and Elisha said, "As long as my soul lives and as long as the Lord lives, I will not leave you." There are major principles for spiritual fatherhood and sonship in this. Are you guys with me? Second time, they came to the place called Bethel. And Elijah said again to Elisha, he said, "Elisha, stay here where you are at, for the Lord is going to take me from you." And then you see the sons of the prophets, or the peers, the brothers, they came in and they said, "Listen, your master is going to be taken away from over you. Don't you know that? Rather stay." And he said, "Be quiet." Actually, in English, main English language, "Shut up. I know it." Why? Because there's a double portion coming. Are you guys getting me or not? Okay, is the sound, is it okay there? It's not dull. Okay. And he was basically saying, "Listen, shut up. Shut your mouth. I know my master has been taken from me because there's a double portion going to fall and I want it." So they tried to discourage him. Then Elijah again tried to discourage Elisha and say, "Listen here, stay here. The Lord is going to take me away." And Elisha said, "As long as my soul lives and the Lord lives, I will not leave you." Third place, they came to Jericho. Again, the same thing. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here." Three times. Listen, it just is three times recorded. If you have any spiritual father that does not try to chase away his spiritual sons, it's not a spiritual father. Elijah said to Elisha, "Listen here, I'm ready to be taken away now. What can I do for you?" And Elisha said, "Give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me double of what you have. You are a great prophet. You are doing miracles all over. But I want double of you, not anointing only, the spirit that is in you." Paul said, "I have not given you the gospel only, but I shared with you my whole life." Okay? So you can catch someone's spirit or only their anointing. So he said, "Listen, I want a double portion of your spirit." It fell on him, the mantle fell on him, and it was Elijah was taken up by chariots of fire, going up into heaven, one of the only two people who didn't die, and then that'll still come back and have to die a physical death, but I'm not going to get into physics and time, space, and matter, and etc. But and then Elisha took the mantle, and he stood by the river Jordan, and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He didn't say Elisha. I hope you guys are open for revelation. I didn't teach this in the first lesson. Why does he say, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Why doesn't he say, "Where are you, God?" Because Elijah's God was different to Elisha's God. You're not going to get it. Just stay with me. Please stay with me. I'm trying to, you guys will understand just now. Elisha had one revelation of God. Elijah had another revelation of God. God is to me to the revelation that I have of him. If I have a revelation that is my deliverer, I will experience him as my deliverer. Elijah's God was more powerful than Elisha's God, if I can say it like that. The revelation. So Elijah knew. Listen, Elisha knew. The measure of grace that I have, I cannot split this River Jordan. He saw his father doing it before, and now he has to do it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to call on a higher authority. Because I have been submitted to Elijah for 10 years. And he took the mantle and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he struck the Jordan. Listen, when I come into Centurion, when we had these angelic encounters and I was standing, I mean, they tried to kill us with guns. They've tried to, came to my house to try to kill us there. And I get death threats. I'll rape your daughter and slit your throat and shoot your wife in the head. I get those death threats all the time, many times, but I've been protected. No harm has touched me. Nothing has touched me. Not even hurting me. And listen, so if I come into Centurion, I do not come in with my own accord or my own authority. I come under the one that I submit and the one under whom he submits. And ultimately, obviously, it's God, but God works in delegated authority. When I come in here and something doesn't work for me, what I do, I get on my knees and I say, God, where is the Lord God of my father, Mark Bredenkamp? And then I feel the atmosphere shifting. We were in a service, and it wasn't going so good on Friday night. And that's what I did. I just raised my hands, and I said, where is the Lord God of of my father, Mark Bredenkamp? And the place ripped open. The atmosphere ripped open. And because I come in with that backup when I submit. When I submit to somebody, listen, submission is only power under control. Go to your notes. Let's go through this. I want to just share a little bit of principles here with you guys. I'm not going to read through the notes, but what is a mantle? You got it there to take home. What is a mantle? A mantle was to describe it was an outer garment that was worn. Some mantles are protection from harsh weather, etc. I don't really want to get into this, but the mantle that Elijah, second paragraph there, was worn was no ordinary garment. It served twofold purpose. It was a covering and at the same time a sign of authority. A mantle can also be described as an anointing upon you to accomplish what God has called you to do. The anointing is a tangible, transferable substance from heaven. Listen, within 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see demons screaming out in this place. Within 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see miracles taking place here. We're just starting now. We are just starting now. A mantle, how do I receive a mantle? This is basic principles that I just want to do. I want to just as a foundation for people to understand. Number one, I must recognize the mantle. Number two, which means that I must understand there's a mantle on that man, or that man of God, or my spiritual father, or that leader there. And I have about 2 or 3 people that imparts into me. One man, I'm not going to mention by name, he's one of the top prophets in the world. He just messaged me. Our team experienced angels the last 3 days. And I'm not speaking of weird flaky stuff. I'm speaking of like flying through the car. The whole team sees it. Cars burning down before we get there, and people being hit with cars. But we were protected. And I'm in my house, and the angels would walk into my house. Angel says to me, plant the church. I get a message now. I haven't shared that with anybody. With one of the man that I submit to, and you know, that really speaks into my life, who's one of the top prophets in the world. He just sent me now in the first service. He sent me a message. He says, I'm sensing, and he says, let there be an angelic presence. I feel angels. Now this man will tell your telephone number, your everything, with just looking in the eyes. He says there's angels all over that place. Love you, you know, because I was just thinking, at that moment I was thinking of him being there, and I didn't tell him that, but I didn't tell him what we have been experiencing. There is angelic activity. I know what angelic activity is, you know, which means that a portal, you know, Bethel, Jacob had a dream at Bethel, and a ladder went up, and angels were ascending and descending. When there is angels, it speaks of a portal that is open. When there is angels, a portal is open. That's why he said, the presence of God is in this place, and I did not even know it. How awesome is this? And he called the place Bethel. He called it first Luz, and he changed it to, it was first called Luz, and now it's Bethel. The word Luz means desert. It means barrenness. It means wilderness. Nothing is happening until the gateway and the portal of heaven is opened. Angelic activity. And he called it Bethel, the house of God, a gateway to heaven. I prophesy that if there was a wilderness in this place, in this region, in the city of Centurion, that every principality and power will come down by that grace. You don't understand what I'm saying. That if you bring your families in this place, they'll get delivered. They'll see miracles, signs, and wonders. They'll experience the power and the supernatural power of God. You'll go home and they'll be saved. I prophesy and I declare that a portal will be, I don't even declare it, I know that a portal will be open over this place. And you can be rest assured, if you leave the service, the anointing will be resting upon you. Amen. Zabon beskatera. Guys, can I have your seats? Now, how do I, so that's, I must recognize the mantle. I must receive the mantle. At least my heart must be open to receive. I must serve the mantle, serving. Elisha had to run after that mantle. Number four, I must honor that mantle. I honor with my words, my worship. We don't worship man, of course, we worship God and my substance, material things. So when I serve under anointing, I wrote there, and I apply the above steps, I immediately begin to align myself in order to receive impartation. In the same way, there are certain principles that govern impartation. Listen to this. I just want to give you these four principles. We're almost done. And it'll be, we'll have better teaching later on. It was just, we were in such, we worked till 2 o'clock last night, I think, around there. And so we were very tired. Association. How do I receive impartation? If I want to impart to the cell leaders here, I give them what I have. And that's not just touching hands or pushing over. And I have not pushed people over, unless it's a demon. I have not pushed people over. It sometimes looks like it, but most of the time I'll blow on people. But it's impartation. How do I receive impartation? I must be number one in the right association. It's not about what I know, but who I know. This applies in the same realm of the Spirit. So there's certain associations. My association is my father, Pastor Mark Brennkamp, and two others that operate in very high dimensions, which means that by my association with them, they can allow me to come into that dimension. Atmosphere. What is the atmosphere of my house? What is the spiritual atmosphere in my house, in my church? Is it boring? Is it dead? Is it Logos word or is there revelation? Is my spirit feels like it's jumping on the end? Listen, when Mary, when the power of the highest overshadowed Mary, the Lord already spoke to me about a series that we'll do in the morning, but I'll teach people properly, prophetically, but about power and authority. But when the power of God overshadowed Mary, she just greeted Elizabeth. The Bible says that Elizabeth was afar off, and she just said, "Greetings, Elizabeth." But the glory of God was upon her life. When she did it, John the Baptist leaped in her womb. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The womb speaks of our spirit. I must be in a place where it feels something is moving in here, or the pastor is saying something that feels like it is coming alive. I feel like I cannot just sit back. I have to sit maybe on the edge of my chair, or I have to sit and be attentive. Something is jumping in here. If something doesn't move my spirit, it is dead word that is being preached, and that kills. But the Spirit gives life. Revelation gives life. Come on, guys, with me. It must, and revelation is a direct word from heaven. It's like revelation, you'll get a lot of revelation. So, atmosphere. Our atmosphere must be right. Environment. What environment do I find myself in? The right environment spiritually and physically. This is where the local church plays a large role. The environment I am in. Is it the anointing flowing or not? Is the power present or not? Placing a demand. The last, most important one for me is number four. If you're in our services, many of the guys that follow our ministry will know this, but place a demand. I'm going to write a read here. I must go place a demand on the mantle. A demand is placed by faith on an atmosphere or a gift busy ministering to you. One example was the lady with the issue of blood who touched Jesus' mantle. He said, "Great is your faith." Faith places a demand. The Bible records in the Greek that she continually said within herself. She placed a demand. She continually said within herself, "If I may only touch the hem of his garment. If I may only touch the hem of his garment." Few seconds later, what she said took place. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 23 says, "Whosoever," can everybody say with me, "whosoever," say it again, say, "whosoever," "says to this mountain," say with me, "says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea," and believes in his heart that it will be done so, he shall have, he shall have whatever. Now go back to whosoever. Say whosoever can have the whatever. He says, the scripture says, he will have whatever he says. Which means that that includes every person in this place. The whosoever can have the whatever they say. If you say, I cannot pay my rent at the end of the month, you ain't going to pay your rent at the end of the month. If you say you can't pay your bill at the end, or you can't pay your car, you're not going to be able to. But if you say, I can pay it. I know I can pay it. Listen. I live in a rayon. I'll explain to you later what a rayon is. It's a vision, thoughts. King Nebuchadnezzar received a rayon on his bed. The Bible says visions and dreams, thoughts that speaks of the year after. If a wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar, can receive thoughts from God about the future, how about Holy Ghost Spirit-filled believers in this place? That's a realm of vision. That's a very low realm of vision which every single one of us can tap into. It's when you lie in your bed and you daydream all the time. It's like somebody must say, hey, what are you doing? And you just daydream. You're not about your girlfriend, but you're daydreaming about your business, or you're daydreaming about, you're seeing something in the future. It might not exist here. Listen to me. Those things that are unseen are eternal, but the things that are seen are temporal. So when I close my eyes, my wife would catch me out all the time, and I was lying on my bed, and we would be, she does whatever she does, I'm lying, and then I'm just gone. I live in a rayon. Before I had crusades in my mind, in my bed. I cast out devils in my bed before I could even do it. And then it took place. Imagination is one of the most powerful tools for the prophetic. But anyway, so then I lie on my bed, and I would just, before the church was planted, all I would see is a massive church in Centurion. I would be walking through the corridors. I would be talking to people. I'm there. Do you understand? Do you understand that you have a spiritual man on the inside of you? A spiritual man has eyes, has ears, has a mouth, which means that you can speak, hear, see, feel, touch, perceive, discern. Come on, are you guys with me? So, and then I laugh because I'm under the joy of the Lord, and I'm seeing all this stuff, and then she's like, why are you laughing? And I'm like, and I feel embarrassed because I feel caught out. How many of you have ever felt like that? Just like, you know, I'm like, okay. Then I feel like embarrassed, but she doesn't understand that I'm living in a rayon every night. And the more I see it, the substance comes into the material. And speak it. And I'm not speaking of claiming, framing, proclaiming. When you hear God, it must be connected to God's word. It must be connected to God's will. Amen. So these are things that I'm just teaching my team. But say with me, rayon. Say it again. Say a rayon. Now, there are many dimensions of visions. There's rayon, there's nabat, there's yetzer, there's mara, there's hazon. There's at least five dimensions of visions that one can enter into. And many times we as believers, we think we must have this heavy vision while God is speaking as a rayon in our minds. The Bible says it's thoughts that comes to your head. I'm not speaking of vain imaginations. I'm speaking of a good imagination. Are you guys with me? Logismos diakonai in the Greek. So that is how God speaks when his word comes on you. I told my guys how to do it and so on. Placing a demand. I need, and I love this crowd is placing a demand. That's why I can't stop preaching Revelation. That's placing a demand. Other one I had to like stick to the notes. But there's people that's pulling here. Somebody's pulling. So that's why it's happening. Maybe it's Marcel. But listen, sometimes I'll feel like I want to preach to this crowd it's because somebody's placing a demand. Placing a demand on the atmosphere, on the presence of God, on the gift that is inside of me, saying that I'm not going to leave this place until I get breakthrough. That is it. God loves that challenge. Listen. We had plastic chairs here. And I said, no, we must have steel chairs. And that day we had steel chairs. Do you know how much the steel chairs cost? You don't want to know. Amen. And that's for you. I hope you guys say amen. Okay, go for me to the page thereafter. I just want to go through this and I'm going to pray for some of you. I feel I need to pray for people that are here that has come for that. But tonight we're going to go deeper. I'm just relaxed now. We went to bed 3 o'clock maybe, and I was up 5 o'clock, so. So let me just read this. Listen. Go there to, not the scripture, on the back page there. I'm going to read the Elisha. Elisha placed everything on the line. He cut off his whole past and placed all his eggs in one basket, if I can say it like that. In fact, that God, in the fact that God has called him, Elisha proved to God that he has no option B. Listen, I've been to Namibia and I would see people, young people, 500, Stefan was with me, running through the chairs to dive into the stage to get the fire of God. We saw people so hungry that I would walk out of the meeting, the fire and the glory would fall for 2-3 hours still as they're crying out to God. And it happens by, because they have no other option. It's not a very rich place where we were. So, you know, then I'll go preach in America, and nothing against the United States, but there's options. So Dr. Benny is our option A. You know, then psychologist, this is our option B. And then maybe this counselor, this is our option C. And God is right at the end. No wonder God doesn't give a miracle. I don't want to give a miracle to somebody who asks God. You know, no, seriously. Do you guys understand the basic? But when I make him my option A, when my wife and I started this church, like she said, we give everything, and we really do. We had a place where we have given everything into this church now. And obviously before that, I'm thinking I should not have sowed all that stuff January. Then I could have just done this. But it operates in the realm of the spirit like that. But Elijah had no option B. He made God option A. God will move on your behalf if you make him option A. So it goes on. He says, he cut off everything that he could fall back on. Elisha's peers came against him, discouraging him. This is a sign that you have entered the process. Even his master, like I said, his spiritual father said to him to stay behind. So there I wrote 4 things. So you want to read that? 4 tests that Elisha had to go through. The first test was Gilgal. If you study Gilgal, it is a place of circumcision. It is a place of death, dying to self, the desires of the flesh. Gilgal is a place where we die. It is a place where we must also exercise our faith and push to new levels. Now let me explain this. The first test that I as a believer will endure is that I must die to myself. I must say death to the flesh. Are you guys with me? Whatever my flesh wants, I say no to. Then the second test what he had to go through was Bethel. It is the place where we build our altars and sacrifice. It is where a sacrifice has been made. We sacrifice with praise, with worship, with time, with money, with energy. It is the place of the supernatural. It is the place where we wrestle with God and have an encounter with Him. It is also the place where identity is changed. But let's see. Gilgal, that he had to die to himself. Bethel, Elisha had to sacrifice. And then he experienced the supernatural. Many people want the supernatural, but they don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to die to their flesh. They don't want to sacrifice. I mean, dear God, just ask them to give 10 rand. It's like when it comes, it's like so formal up. I mean, they held onto that 10 rand. I'm joking. So I ask people to lift their hands. That's a mission. People don't want to lift their hands. A sacrifice of praise. Ask somebody to come 12 o'clock to come and help you to build. It's a sacrifice of time and energy. Are you guys with me? When my wife said that we counsel people, we really do. We counsel people from 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'll sit with them till 4 o'clock the next morning until they're free. And it's energy that takes tremendous time. You know, a lot of ministers don't pay the price. Because it's energy. Energy, looking after people is paying the price. But we have a cell structure also that looks after people. So it's paying the price of energy. So that is what happens at Bethel. Then we see how Jacob stole a blessing. I might speak on that tonight. A shortcut. You can steal importation. Anyway, that's how I read my Bible. You know that he stole it. Do you guys know it? And his father said after he gave him the blessing, he gave Jacob. Jacob tricked him. And then Esau said to his father, but father, do you only have one blessing to give? And he said, yes. And he cried out to God. Isaac only had one blessing to give, which means the anointing from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob diluted. He could only bless it, and he could not take it back. There's a way to steal importation. There's a way to steal a blessing. I can show you from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John how people did stuff that was illegal and go against God's laws and time structure and cause God to move because of faith, because of something inside of it. How can Jacob wrestle with God through the night and hold God down out of the heavens that God has to say to Jacob, Jacob, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. How is it that man, a deceiver, a liar, Jacob was? This man was so wicked that from his mother's birth, he tried to steal the first birth. In his mother's womb, he tried to steal the birthright already, to grab a hold of his brothers. And that's how evil this man was. How can this evil man grab a hold of God out of the heavens? Keep God out of the heavens. It's not an angel. It was the angel of the Lord, which is Christ. He held him out of the heavens that God has to say, leave me alone. How does God say to a speck of dust, leave me alone, I must go? And the speck of dust says, no, I will not let you go. And you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You guys are not understanding what I'm saying. If somebody who didn't have God in them can do it, you have God in you. How about you and I? He's playing 1 month. It's very good. Huh? Marcel, you play drums, eh? Oh, guitar. Okay. Okay. That's good. You like your rhythm. It's really good. Thank God. So, that's beautiful. There you got it. Okay? Okay. I'm just teaching them how to flow in the prophetic. Okay, so. Tonight's gonna be good. Then they got to. I'm not looking because I'm prepared. I'm looking because I'm seeing things in the spirit. That's all. So they came to Jericho. Jericho, that was the third test, warfare. He had to. Joshua had to. Had to be obedient to minute details, which is. Minute details where God said, walk around. You want to have a war, don't fight, don't make a sound, just walk around. They had to be obedient to something that didn't make sense before the walls came down. Then from that test onwards, they had to get to Jordan. It is at the place of Jordan. I'll close off with this, but I want to leave you with something that I believe will bless you. At the place of Jordan, where it was the place of Jordan where Elisha saw his spiritual father being taken away. To the place of Jordan where he said, my father, for the first time in scripture. It is at the place at Jordan where we begin to recognize spiritual fatherhood. But Elijah said to him, if you see me taken away, you will have what you desire. Which means that he had to see. Then the Bible says, Elisha saw Elijah being taken away. That word saw, can everybody say with me saw? Say with me see. It has a very powerful meaning. It means to look with pleasure. It means to look with joy. It means to look with celebration and excitement. Now, to get the picture across to like this, there was a story with Moses where all the Israelites were bitten by fiery serpents. And I need to pray for everybody here. So, we're bitten by fiery serpents. And they were dying, the Israelites. But it says that God sent the fiery serpents. And it's seraphims. It was actually angels. But anyway, so they were biting them. Then God said to Moses, now I want you to take a big fiery serpent and put it on a ball and let everybody look at it and they shall live. That word look is the same word, nabat. It means to look with pleasure. But this makes no sense. This is cruel and deceiving by God. It's cruel. The guys are being bitten. They're dying. Now God is saying, no, the thing that's killing you, make a bigger one and look with pleasure on that thing. Then you shall live. Some like freaking out. Okay. But what is, listen. It's called nabat in the Hebrew. I must look with pleasure, which means that your circumstances are biting you. Now something bigger hits you. God is requiring you to look at those things with pleasure and with joy. Knowing that when you look at it with pleasure and joy, and your eyes are not on the circumstances, you will live, which means to be revived. Revival. And listen. It's like this. It's like you're driving a Datsun. You know those Datsuns? Sunday has a Datsun. It's fine. It's not against that. I just rented a Datsun, and the thing, I mean, it was like, you see, I thought I was going to die. And a blue Datsun. And, you know, but now you're driving a beaten up Datsun like this. And behind, God is my provider, Jehovah Jireh, okay? And your friend has been given an X5. He hasn't worked. Somebody just gives him an X5. Now something rises up in your heart. How can this be? How is this? Immediately, I'm eliminated from the blessing right there. But now God is saying that now, I drive this and Chris has been given this big car. I must immediately align my spirit and my heart to become pure and rejoice for him and be glad and look at that with joy. Because now it's a bigger of my problems. And when I do that, I get activated to get that. It's like this. If I can explain to you, Rayo, like Michael Phelps, the swimmer, he would swim and he would win gold, 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 gold. And there's a story, a whole article about it, where there's a young boy, Joseph Schooling or something. He was in Brazil, young boy. He had a photo of Michael Phelps on his wall. And he says, one day I'll be like Michael Phelps. And every day he walks into his room, he would see the photo. But what he was doing, he was building a rayon, he just doesn't know it. Business people build a rayon, they just don't know it. So he puts that photo and he tells all his friends, one day I'm going to be like, that's my year. And he practiced swimming, And he said, every day, I can imagine him going to bed looking at that poster, waking up looking at that poster. But he was building something. Listen to me. These things work even for the unbelievers. And Michael Phelps wins gold. Until one day now recently at the Olympics when he won silver for the first time, I think, or in a long time. And then there was somebody else that won gold, and his name was Joseph Schooling. What are the chances of a young boy in a poor country somewhere looking at a poster every day? Listen, if he can do it, you and I can do it. Is building a rayon. You're dreaming every day. You're saying, you're speaking what you see, and you're bringing it into existence. Your mouth has power to create. Say double. Tonight we're going to pray for a double portion. Tonight I'm going to pray. The scripture says, I'll take you out, you prisoners of hope. I'll take you out of that. I'll bring deliverance. And then as you step out, even today, I will give you double. Not tomorrow, today. I'm not going to carry on preaching. Can everybody stand to their feet for me? La rose da 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 da. Zororo. Zidiente. Zabros katalavaha kenene di on delelebe. Nebruska de la barca de Benemana, Zeramandios Cotora Varaki de Benema, Razo de Bonemanama. I really want to prophesy over people, really want to pray for you. And I'm going to do that just now quick. We'll prophesy more tonight and so on. But there's a few individuals I want to prophesy over and then pray for. But if you're standing here, I want to ask you just, wherever you're at, just to close your eyes. There's not an altar call, just to close your eyes. I want to ask you something. We were submitted in a local church, just being here while I was away from my spiritual father, Hatfield, and I was speaking to them yesterday, and this church is, let me just say, this church is autonomous. We are not being supported by a church, by another church. Doesn't mean that we are independent. I am under a covering, a good covering, but we are not being paid a salary, and we're not being, things just happen. It's 500,000 rand you're standing in right now. So they were just advising me, the senior pastor, the Pastor Carl, he just advised me to do this. And he said to me, obviously every Sunday we'll have normal tithes and offerings, but he said to me to just ask the people and challenge them for an activation, a launching gift. You'll see that there's a tithes and offering, a sewing envelope on your chair, and it looks like this. He said just a launching gift to give into this work. Listen, you're giving into the vision. I haven't even gotten the guys to share testimonies. Tonight I will. I mean, they went from, salaries from 2,000-3,000 to 200,000 businesses, and they'll share testimony tonight. And that's not to say that it can be bought. There's a thing in honor and in sowing that activates the heavens. Every time God promoted me, and my wife is a witness, He required a seed. I don't know why. He required me to sow a ridiculous seed, and then I would get promoted in the spirit. And it's not just laws in the spirit, but I want to ask you just from the bottom of my heart, it's not twisting emotional or anything. If you want to give a launching gift, like a gift into this vision and say, I believe what's happening in this church. Listen, this is the second service. The first service was packed. We don't know how it's going to go tonight. I'm not saying the launching is always big, so it drops 50% afterwards. We know that's church plant science, and so on. But, you know, we're going to, you know, God has told me, he's given us Centurion. And this is not a thing that started this year. This is a rayon that I built for 10 years when I got saved, 18 years living on the streets here as a drug addict. I went to a church and I built a huge church just here. I did all the manual work. And while I was doing that, I would dream, all I would see is a huge church that I would have in Centurion one day. And that would set people free. And from there, every night, I would see that, always, for 10 years. It takes time to birth something. And the birthing is here. Many people ask, what have I been doing this year? We were silent this year. I said, I've been birthing this. So it takes time to birth this. So, but I know where we're going. But I know small beginnings. Never despise small beginnings. Never despise small beginnings. My debt got canceled in one night by applying a certain financial secret that I'll share later with you as we grow together. You know, there's a scripture that says this. It says, Isaac sowed in the land of his forefathers. And in that same year, he reaped hundredfold. Do you know how much that is? He reaped hundredfold. Then it goes on and it says, and he began to grow great. I'm quote unquote, I'm saying. And even more greatness came upon him until he became very great. The next verse says this. It says, then he had so many possessions and flocks. This Isaac was so rich that even the kings were intimidated by him and asked him to leave the country. And it says one line there that provoked everything inside of me. It says he was so great, so rich, so blessed by God. But he sowed in the lands of his forefathers. He reaped a hundredfold. And then it says this. It says that the enemy, the Philistines, envied him. I don't know if you guys are getting that. The unsaved, the enemy, the Philistines had jealousy of how blessed Isaac was. When I read that verse, I say, God, it's time that you begin to bless your people. That unbelievers can look and say, I'm jealous. I want what you have. I am envious of what you have. You don't even have to have the anointing. They'll just come to the Lord. Listen. But it starts by sowing. I sowed myself out of poverty. I'm standing here. I was in poverty. I sowed myself out of poverty. I want to ask you. I know that whoever gives into this is not a good idea. This is not a thought. Or a holiday package or a business idea. This is an angel that came to me and said, plant the church, that's it. My angel spoke to me. And some of you don't believe that. Everyone has an angel. Amen. Everyone has an angel. Peter tribes it, book of Matthew tribes it, every person has an angel. So this is the plan, the purpose, and the work of God. If you ask my team, they would say to me, I mean, we had nothing. We had nothing. I mean, I was minus 20,000. And it was just grace. It was just happening. And they said to me, it's hard work, but things are just coming together. It's just working. That's when it's in the will of God. It's the perfect will of God. And I believe in excellence. That's why we put up all this stuff for you. And if you want to sow a seed, guys, but after you sow the seed, I want to ask you to stand here in front. Just move those who want prayer and move the first row of chairs away. I want to pray for you personally. Any person, even if you don't sow, that's fine. I want to pray for you. But listen, let me just say this, that you have an envelope. You can put some cash in there. The banking details are on our flyer. And we have a credit card machine in the back, so you can go even use a credit card facility there if you want to sow. It's not the Antichrist. But then as you come, guys, I want to ask you, as you're standing where you're at, if you can lift your hand for me. You know, I always say to the people, even if you don't have a cent, sew a button off your shirt. We've had shoes in the offering. We've had watches. I've given all my diesel watches away. I've given my Apple iWatch. I sewed it on a stage when there was moments of revelation. I have no watch. I want the watch, but that's not skimping. Don't worry. I'll give it away again. I give because I didn't have cash on me, but I wanted to give something. And I want to ask you, just it'll really bless us and to help us as we have a budget of 140 to meet within 2 Sundays. And but there's some balls in front. But if you have a gift or if you want to have a pledge and someone bring it tonight, I'm going to make an EFT or if I have something to give now, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray over that seed. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every person that is sowing into this vision, those that might not be able to, but I pray for every person to be blessed in every area of their lives. I pray, Father, I rebuke the devourer over their finances and the miracle upon miracle upon miracle that you've brought upon our lives that will be activated upon theirs, even as I lay hands upon them and pray for them right now. I pray for impartation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit.